Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Time to take a look at what's going on around Wisconsin. Our guest, Mike Beno, back with us once again. He's editor of Our Wisconsin, a magazine that's packed with stories, photos, recipes, and they're all about the things that make Wisconsin special. So maybe there's a fun spring event happening in your part of the state. Maybe you have some recommendations for a spring road trip. Love to hear from you. Give us a call. Number is 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org, or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page, and we'd certainly love to hear from you. Mike Beno with us by phone. Mike, thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Hey, Larry, thanks. It's always great to be here, and I'm in Manitouish waters. I got snow up to my armpits.
So it's snowshoe weather there right now.
I went snowshoeing Sunday for a good long time. Yeah, 11 inches on Saturday, and more's coming today. And especially central Wisconsin, down around Wausau, I think they're really going to get, they're saying they're going to get smacked with about 10 inches. But I'm just giving you fair warning, Larry. If you're coming up for the May 5th fishing opener, I got plenty of tip-ups for you, okay?
Oh, boy. Well, you know what? I'm sure you've probably covered ice fishing at one point or another, but somebody asked me about the stories and said, what kind of stories do they typically take for Our Wisconsin magazine? Somebody was maybe interested in sending you something.
Yeah, that's what makes this magazine so interesting. I would say makes this job so interesting for me, because I never know what's going to come flying out of the woodwork. We're looking for first person stories, really. Yes, we do have some professional writing in here, but that's not always the best writing that we see. We invite the readers themselves all over the state to send in their stories, photos, and explain what makes Wisconsin so special. The cover of the magazine says Wisconsin. It's a place, but this is more a magazine about people than the place, because the best stories reside in the minds and hearts of the people who live here. So, for example, things that are unusual that people are doing. Somebody sent in a story about a man near Plymouth, 86 years old. He's a cemetery caretaker, but in his spare time, on the side, he decided to build a rock wall. It's 1,600 feet long, made without any mortar. Okay, tight wall. And he estimates he has lifted 2.3 million pounds of stones, because each one is handled three times. That's going into our next issue. We've got the runaway goat in Wausau. It just keeps coming here. And the Angel Museum in Beloit. There's all kinds of interesting things going on. One more thing. The power utilities from this state sent lineman crews down to Puerto Rico to help bring the power back after 5 months out, okay? Yeah. These utilities work together. The guys in Wisconsin know the guys from New York, and the guys from New York were there and asked to work with the people from Wisconsin they knew from helping Hurricane Sandy in New York. They call the Wisconsin workers machines, because these guys don't stop, and they know how to dig poles in by hand, not all utility. So this is the kind of stuff that comes here, and it keeps me energized, excited, and I think the readers like it too.
Yeah, for sure. You have a story in the current issue about a guy who grows roses, and I want to talk with you about that, but maybe before that, what do you do to submit a story or an idea?
Very easy. To make molehills out of a mountain, just write it in letter form. People get a little bit worried about trying to make it pretty writing. Send the story here. It should have a beginning, middle, and end. We can sand off any rough corners. We'll keep the heart in it, I assure you. So if somebody wants to send a story in, you can do it by email, and simply email editors at ourwisconsinmag.com.
Okay.
And at that website, ourwisconsinmag.com, there are contributor guidelines and also the postal address if you want to just put a piece of paper in the mail and send it to us. Honestly, some of the very best stuff we get in are written on like kitty cat cards and wavering handwriting printed by hand. That's where the heart comes from.
Oh, man. It must be fun.
It is. It is.
Well, it had to have been fun to hear about Carl from
Carl
De Pere.
That's right. The contrarian Rosarian, Carl Christensen, is a paper mill worker from De Pere. Spent his career at Nicolet Paper Mill. It goes by a different name now, right by the foot of the bridge near St. Norbert College. And in his spare time, he became this papermaker became a rose grower. And he gained more knowledge. He went to work for the local greenhouse. Right now, he is he's bitten off a lot of work because what he does is he grows roses in containers, many of them plastic pots, but also plain old five-gallon buckets. He has something north of 400 container roses, and it's the beginning of April, so he rents a truck and he drives over to a pole barn outside De Pere where he collects every one of these buckets, bending over and breaking his back. He moves all the roses, two or three trips in this rented truck, back to his yard in East De Pere, and he arranges his roses in the backyard, all different varieties, colors, you name it, and sets them up. And then he starts feeding and watering them, and he invites people just come over and talk to him about it. Now, come fall, he's going to trim them off and reverse the process and haul every one of these buckets back to the barn. And his girlfriend says he's nuts. He says he probably is, but he loves growing roses and sharing them. And he's the president of not only the Gardeners Club of Green Bay, but first VP of the Gardeners of America. That's membership in 31 states. So this paper mill worker knows a little bit about what he's doing, and he invites people to come over. I can give his email address if you want to set up a time to see him. He said, please don't put the phone number in because I get called at all hours of the night. He goes, I'll have anybody over, but maybe by email. So if you like me to give this out, people can go see it.
Sure, why not?
Okay, you can email Carl at C. Christensen. That's Christensen. 14 at new.rr.com.
There we go. Well, I tell you what, you've got a nice photo. And I wondered about photos, and that was kind of another follow-up to people who write stories. Do they typically send photos, or how do you handle a photo? You always have so many nice photos.
We do. This magazine is written by its readers, we like to say. So we do encourage people to send photos along with their stories. We do have some professional photography in here with about 50 pro photographers. And I would say those are in the display positions, the very big photos we run on our covers. And we have a photo essay in the center with a three-page panoramic. We're not looking for that level of technical beauty from the average reader, although we get some very pretty digital pictures from people. But if you have a story, you go ahead and send that along. And again, at that website I gave earlier, we have and in every issue of the magazine, we have contributor guidelines telling people how to send stories in. Sometimes, on the other end of the spectrum, we get black and white pictures from maybe someone's remembering a story from the 30s or 40s. We do get memory stories in here. We're very forgiving of low technical quality on those kinds of pictures because maybe they're writing a story about a person or something that happened long ago, and this is the only one that exists. Okay, we'll just make it a little bit smaller, and there's a place for all kinds of photos in this magazine.
There sure is. Mike Bino today, editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine. Maybe you've got a comment about the magazine itself. Maybe you've got something going on in your community you want to talk about, give a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Ideas Network Facebook page. You know, Mike, one of the musky fishing experiences of my days was catching three pretty nice-sized muskies in one day. It was one morning on a MEPS musky killer.
Wow. Three in the morning?
Three in the morning on a cloudy day, black bucktail, gold blade. And I was really happy to open up your magazine and see a story about MEPS.
Well, first of all, congratulations. That's a fish of 10,000 casts, and you got three in one morning.
All on a MEPS lure.
Wow. Well, that made a beginner out of you, I can tell. A believer out of you, yeah. I can tell. MEPS, a Wisconsin institution, and I got to say, as a kid, you know, so many of us in Wisconsin grew up going up north. Our parents took us for inexpensive vacations from Milwaukee, Madison, Chicago, the Fox River Valley, heading up north, and heading up Highway 45 toward Three Lakes, where my father always dragged us. I would see the sign outside of this warehouse kind of building saying squirrel tails wanted, MEPS. And as a kid with a BB gun, I thought I could get rich. You know, I had dreams of striking it rich with squirrel tails. That never happened. I don't think that happened for anybody. But, yes, the legendary MEPS lures are sold all over the world, known in the past as French spinners. They're 80 years old this year, in 2018, their 80th anniversary, and they're still made in Antigo, Wisconsin, as always. Tom Davis, our contributing editor, took a run up there from where he lives in Green Bay and visited just to see what this squirrel tail stuff is all about. And, you know, been making squirrels nervous for 50 years up there. What he found was a wonderful, wonderful place where everything's made by hand.
Yeah.
They're sold worldwide by the tens of thousands. And the components for these spinners are made in France still, where they were invented. MEPS now owns that factory. The components are shipped here. And you've got a warehouse full of very skilled people, mostly women, nearly all, I guess, looking like they're assembling jewelry. What they do is they take these pieces, they build the components there at their workbenches. In less than 30 seconds, they can have one of these made, and they're beautiful. But the special touch is that squirrel hair, and the idea is that some kid came up with the idea many years ago, and Todd Sheldon, who founded this company, saw that on the Wolf River, saw how well this young man was doing with it, and in the years since, they found nothing that works better to dress a lure than squirrel hair. So up goes a sign on Highway 45, and also they had squirrel tail collection points, depots, if you will, hardware stores and sporting goods stores around the state, and they invite hunters to, rather than just toss squirrel tails if they're bagging squirrels, send them in. A very large squirrel tail, a fox squirrel tail, or a gray squirrel tail could dress out 10 lures, all made by hand. And what I found was so neat about this story is there's a lady named Peg Doucette who has worked there forever. She is the squirrel tail department. She judges them. You might get 26 cents for them if she's having a good day, and they're dyed, they're frozen, they're treated, and the hair is then tied. People tie these dressings in their homes, and when Peg couldn't get to work in Antigo, she'd take her snowmobile and drive her squirrel tail dressings over to the factory. And there's a lady here, Ruth Prohaska, who sat down and made a lure for Tom. Tom said, she made it for me in 2 minutes. He said, that's only because she was explaining it. She could do that in less than 30 seconds easily. It's a legendary, really, you can't overstate how big this particular lure got worldwide just because they work. And Larry, you're living proof of it.
Yeah.
But it's a gem in Wisconsin, and if you drive too fast on Highway 45, you might just blow right by it. They do have tours that they take about a half hour. They welcome you there.
It's a really cool place. Mike Bino, our guest editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine. Give a call with your comments or questions at 800-642-1234. I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau, our producer, here on the Ideas Network. Coming up at 11:45, we'll talk with the author of a book about the Milwaukee Braves, the history of the Braves. Right now, though, we're visiting with Mike Bino, editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine. Give a call with your questions or comments, or maybe you've got an event coming up. Number 800-642-1234. Dennis in Oshkosh, it's your turn. Hi, Dennis.
Hi. A few years ago, my neighbor and his wife went to Alaska on vacation, and when they got home, they stopped over. They had gotten my wife and I a gift, and I received a pack of 6 Mets spinners made in Antigo, Wisconsin.
From Alaska?
Yes. He wasn't a fisherman, but I was, and he knew that. So.
That's a great story.
It was funny.
Thanks, Dennis.
That reminds me of a story of my from up around the Fox River Valley, and a couple of people I know flew to Hawaii, and all the way to Hawaii they were being told about this wonderful kahuna cheese that they had to try once they reached Hawaii, and their mouth was watering. It was so built up. And they got there, and these people are from the De Pere area around northern end of the Fox River Valley. They get to Hawaii, and they're looking all over for the kahuna cheese, and they finally found it. And, Larry, you know what it's called? Kaukauna Club.
Kaukauna Club. Oh, man, good story. Well, Clarence in Watertown, what have you got for us today? Hi, Clarence.
Good morning. Good morning, gentlemen. My sister, who lives in Catawba, gave us the subscription to the Our Wisconsin magazine. And the photography is so beautiful, so clear. And the printing, the magazine is such a great thing to get. And being a dairyman down here in Watertown, I really, really like to read Mr. Yoder's the story of his dairy and his life. And occasionally they do mention one of the drivers that picks up our milk on certain occasions is also the driver that picks up Mr. Yoder's milk.
Oh, my.
So very, very small world. But, yes, we enjoy the magazine thoroughly.
Oh. Clarence, thanks for calling. Yeah. You get a lot of that, I bet.
Yes. Well, Clarence talked about the photography in the paper. Ink on paper publishing, traditional publishing, everything's going smaller, getting thinner, less and less and less and less. We decided to go the other direction. And one time, we use the very best paper we can buy, and we bulk it up, and we try to give as much as possible. And for some reason, it seems to be working. But one time, it's printed at Quad Graphics in West Allis, and I was at the sports show, and we had a little booth to give away some samples. And some fellows in blue coveralls came in, and they stopped, and they said, we're from the printing plant just down the road. We just wanted to come in and say thank you for giving us good paper to work with. It showcases their work. And Clarence was talking about Mr. Yoder. That is our Amish diarist from Bondiwell, the Cecil area. He's a dairyman on his farm with his kids, and I think he has 27 grandkids now, and they all many of them are helping out on the farm. But we have a piece, every issue, that's gives you a glimpse into a week in the life of an Amish family on their dairy farm in northeastern Wisconsin.
Clarence, thank you again for calling. Appreciate it very much. I want to give Celeste in Phelps a chance to join in. Celeste, hi. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, yeah. I just wanted to talk a little bit about our Maple Syrup Fest we have coming up here in Phelps this weekend. We like to celebrate the maple syrup because we think it's a really important part of Wisconsin's heritage and our culture up here, and just really showcases all of the different things that our state has to offer.
That's on the 7th, I bet, right?
Yep, April. We're coming up on the 7th annual on April 7th, this Saturday, and we do tours of our local bushes. People can get out and see exactly how the syrup is made and where. We do a really large maple syrup judging contest that is really popular. We've gotten syrups in from as far as New York, which is fantastic for us. Interesting to see. We do arts and crafts and a maple cafe, kids' activities, just really something for everyone.
Oh, it sounds like a lot of fun, doesn't it, Mike?
Celeste, I bet you a brandy old-fashioned could be made with maple syrup.
It's so funny you say that, because I will be on Channel 12 this evening demonstrating how to make a brandy old-fashioned with maple syrup.
Will you bring me one? I don't live far from you.
How do you make one with maple syrup?
Well, you're substituting the syrup for the sugar. That's the big thing, and we actually feature honey in our event, too. Oh. When you use maple syrup or honey as a natural sweetener, not only is it cutting down on the calories for you, it's actually giving you a ton of health benefits that most people don't realize.
Well, there you go. You've got your patter down pretty good there, Celeste.
Well, you'll have to check us out on Channel 12 tonight. You can see for yourself how you make a brandy old-fashioned.
Okay, and I'll hire you to pitch a mag. How's that sound?
That sounds good. Thanks, Celeste. Thanks a lot for calling. You can join in, too, 800-642-1234. Speaking of events, there's a great event going on in Wisconsin. You wrote about the Prairie Chicken Festival in Wisconsin Rapids, and that's a week from this Saturday, April 14th.
Yeah, that's right. The Prairie Chicken Festival. Now, this is an example of a rare natural resource that was through sound conservation, a lot of hard work from by wildlife biologists, ecologists, sportsmen. This remnant population of these native birds, about 1,000 of them, still exists on the grasslands in central Wisconsin. An initiative came about in 1960 to preserve some habitat. But, the prairie chicken is a species of grouse that's native to the grasslands of North America and nowhere else in the world. And it's an old story. By the 1850s, habitat loss and market hunting, unregulated hunting, caused the bird's numbers to dwindle. Well, today in Wood, Portage, Adams counties, on some different state areas, and also some farms adjacent where there's cooperating landowners who preserve some grassland cover, they've got about 1,000 birds. And so this Prairie Chicken Festival happens in Rapids, April 14th, Wisconsin Rapids, and you can call there. I'll give their phone number. You can call there, see about reserving a blind to actually watch the breeding behavior, and it's called on a booming grounds. It's a lek or a booming ground, and these birds stamp their feet. They inflate these orange sacs on their neck and make booming sounds that's heard up to a mile away, and they're going through their mating rituals. And it's something, as I said, only 1,000 birds here. Very, very seldom seen and rarely seen. Dan O'Connell is the senior conservation technician up there. He's out for months scouting these areas and setting up blinds. Also, there is the Boy Scouts are making Dutch oven breakfasts there, Troop 187. You have some goodies, and later on, there's the experts are talking about speakers about management and natural history of the birds. I believe that's at the Hotel Mead in Wisconsin Rapids. So For more information on that, Larry, can I? Okay. If you want to know a little bit about that festival, it's 715-540-0236. And that's the Wisconsin Prairie Chicken Festival in Wisconsin Rapids.
715-540-0236. I have heard them drumming, and it's amazing how loud they are.
And the calls and the stamping of the feet, I heard these birds just kind of go crazy, and it's something that you don't see in every ground nesting bird. So
yeah, well worth a look. Miles in Richland Center, let's go to you now. Hi, Miles.
I kept telling her my name was Vilas.
Oh.
Like the county.
Oh, Vilas.
She must not be from Wisconsin or she'd know Vilas County. Anyway, the man talking about the French spinner. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. When I was about 8 years old, I had a bicycle and we lived out in the country, gravel roads, and I didn't have a fly rod. I had a little casting rod, and the only plug or any, I didn't have a plug, but the only thing I had was a little French spinner I bought at a little hardware store. And so I was going fishing. I knew there was a big trout down in there, couldn't catch him on anything. So I tried worms, I tried, bugs, bumblebees, everything. So I dropped off of the little where the water came down under the bridge. Oh, the road went across the top. I was underneath. Dropped that French spinner in there and bobbed it three times, and that big trout hit it, about pulled me in. And so I had a hard time. I got it up and everything, and I couldn't get that hook, that treble hook, out of its mouth. So I just took the horn of the everything and went home with it on my bicycle.
How old were you?
Get it off. Little did I know it was illegal to fish with trout for the treble hook. it was a 19-inch German brown.
Oh.
And you rode your bike. How old were you then?
Pardon me?
Yeah.
How old were you?
Yeah, back then when you caught that.
I was probably 8 years old, maybe nine. I had a little bicycle.
You're 8 years old, not a bike. I bet the warden would give you a pass.
Pardon me?
I bet the warden would give you a pass if you were 8 years old.
Well, I saw him later. I didn't find what I caught it with. And he was after one that was 20 inches because they were eating all the baby trout that was put in about a mile up the stream. And he had to catch these two big ones because they were eating them all.
Oh, man. Well, another good story with the French spinner or the MEPS. It was a MEPS. That's what they were always called way back when, were French spinners.
Legend lives on.
Yeah. Thank you, Vilas. Appreciate your call very much. I want to give Amy a chance to join in from Westby. Hi, Amy.
I just wanted to call and tell you guys about something that's coming up in our area.
Yeah.
Driftless Wisconsin Wine and Cheese Trail.
Ooh.
So there's a trail weekend coming up on April 12th, 13th, and 14th. And then it kind of goes all throughout the year, but there's 7 wineries and 7 creameries kind of stretching from Madison up to the La Crosse area. That's kind of a fun way to pair your cheeses and wines together.
If you're from Madison, it might be better to start on top and work your way back toward town.
Yeah, definitely. You have to kind of balance the wines and the cheeses so you get a good mixture of them so you don't have too much wine at once, maybe.
And so it's 12th, 13th, and 14th, and do you sign up for it, or do you just, what do
you
do?
Yeah, you can go to any of the places. If you go to driftlesswineandcheesetrail.com, you can find a map of all of them. It's like places in Arena and Laval and Woolersheim's in it and Branches Winery in Westby. And, you can just kind of work your way up. And you can get, like, a brochure at any of the places, and then you get stamps everywhere you go. So on the trail weekends, there's special activities going on, but you can go to it, like, all throughout the year. And then in October, there'll be more fun activities.
No. Sounds like a fun, that could be a good story for you at some point there, Mike.
You bet. We love Westby. We've done stories on the ski jump there, and we have an Our Wisconsin tour that goes through the area, through the Driftless region. I grew up in Green Bay, but I'm just a sucker for Western Wisconsin and the Driftless region. I just love it there. So, anything, Amy, that's going on there, I'm all for.
Good. Well, come on over. We have lots of good cheese and lots of good wine.
I'm sure of that. Thanks, Amy. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. You mentioned tours, Mike.
Yes, a tour. We do have. We have an Our Wisconsin tour, which we brought out a year ago, and it was so popular that we're going to do that again. It's a tour through the Driftless region of Southwest Wisconsin, and I'm going to just double check on the dates here. But it's a six-day, five-night tour, 12 meals included, and what we do is. A lot of the places we have featured in the magazine here, most of them are private places, people's homes, farms, et cetera, are now open to the public, so to speak, because they've invited us to come to their places for these tours. One at Littledale Farm near Richland Center, they've got border collies that they're running their sheep, much as the hosts did in Great Britain before they moved here. It's very interesting to see. And we have, let's see, two departures going. Let's see. They're going to be this fall. So I've got a number here if anybody's interested in that. We could give that at some point.
Okay. And, that area of the state is a fun area. And kind of going that way, Mount Horeb, you've got a nice story about chocolates.
Yes, Schuman's Chocolate House. this is interesting because who doesn't like chocolate? There's a place that they had to split into two locations in this small town for the love of chocolate. Tracy Thompson started Schulin's Chocolate House. That is a Swedish name, named after her grandfather, his Swedish surname. And she started this small confectionery, I would say, in Mount Horeb, the Norwegian town. And over time, she discovered something that all smart business people do. You have to look at what your market wants and give them what the market demands. Don't try to invent a need, try to fill needs. Well, the sweets were good, but the people in town wanted lunches, breakfast, Swedish meatballs, potato sauce, sandwiches, lefse wraps, you know, to bring on the hearty stuff. And so she did, added that bit by bit to her little restaurant, but that creates heat, that creates humidity, which isn't all the best for a chocolatier. So they wanted to keep doing the chocolate, so her daughter Melissa, who's a chocolatier, moved a couple of roundabouts down the street, and they set up the chocolate factory, so the beans to bars could be made there. And she sources chocolate beans in 180-pound sacks from the Dominican Republic and Ghana and Vietnam and Brazil and Guatemala, you name it, Peru. They've found their balance in two locations. They still put out the hearty cooking for breakfast and for lunch, but you can also get some pretty exotic and interesting chocolates there as well at either of those locations in Mount Horeb at Schulin's.
I've eaten at the restaurant, and you get a really nice, nice meal there.
That's what we all want.
My mouth's watering right now as I think about it.
Do you like fried schmelt?
I do.
Okay. Well, you were talking about events, and I can't resist this one. The Turtle Lake American Legion smelt fry. Now, how much more Wisconsin can you get than that? That's April 28th, and they got some Lake Superior smelt. If you want to get up there.
Oh man, I love, and it's kind of like one of those once a year things.
It is. It's spring. That's spring. And I think the smelt are sort of dwindling on the Lake Michigan side, but they're still getting them in Lake Superior. So it's worth checking out. That brings me back to my youth, too, when my father brought home a washed up full of that stuff, gave me a scissors and a toothbrush to get downstairs with me.
Oh, man. Well, there's one other I wanted to bring up for sure, and that, you know, these days we're used to hearing about discovery of historic bones, but back in 1897, some boys in Boaz made a pretty unique discovery.
Well, that's right. And Larry, having worked at UW as long as you have, you're well aware of the Boaz mastodon, which is probably the greatest old find, find in the state. A mastodon skeleton, or most of a mastodon skeleton, was found in 1897 near the town of Boaz, a rural community out in Richland County. Now, this is an example of a story, the skeleton was recreated in 1915 at UW, and it's there and can be seen. But this is an UW Madison Geology Museum.
Yeah.
This is an example of a story that comes flying out of out of nowhere. The family that found this is still there, and so Gale Dosh. Is the grandson of one of the boys who found the bones back in 1897. Gail and his wife, Irene, have the scrapbooks filled with the letters and the clippings and everything going way back when. And as the story goes, there was a deluge that came through after some dry weather, a gully washer that tore out some farms' floodgates and ripped open some ditches, and a big storm. There was some damage. When these young boys went down to survey the damage, they found something else, and it was a bone protruding from a creek bank. And they slowly started their own dig, and they got the neighbors to help dig, and they got 8 feet down, and they found 30-some bones, and people started coming around the farm, but things really took off when they told the mailman. The mailman was the biggest form of news anywhere back then, and pretty soon droves of people were coming there to see the bones in their well house, so much so that the hinges on the door wore out. So they had to get the bones into an area that they could be seen in public, and so they went ahead and sold them for $50. I think that's $1,400 now. And that history is preserved there at UW. But, again, it's interesting to talk to people today who have these oral histories passed down through their family and share them. It's so much richer than just a straight history. Are we there, Larry?
It's always fun to talk with you, Mike, about what's going on around the state and what's going on with our Wisconsin magazine. And I want to thank you so much for being with us again. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks for having me.
Mike Beno, editor of Our Wisconsin magazine. Well, coming up, we're going to talk about the Milwaukee Braves, not the Brewers, but the Braves. When they came to Milwaukee in 1953, it was called a miracle. And we'll find out the history of the Braves in Wisconsin next with our guest author on the Ideas Network.